Before we get to Ayis Tazayin, there is one piece further up that really belongs together with Tesvav on page Resh Chaf Vav. Sicha Resh Lamed He. Resh Lamed He. We learned last week that the midah of a behema in Kedusha, that midah of a behema in Kedusha, Rabbi Nachman is talking about Ehrlich Yidden, about Poshet Yidden, about Tmimistik Yidden. We saw in Lakut Maran, we saw last week in Lakut Maran, Timyana, Simon Mamdalad, the Rebbe's opposition, the Chumras in general, and the effect that Chumras have on our Avodas Hashem, the negative effect that Chumras often have on one's Avodas Hashem. And I just wanted that we should go through this very quickly and then continue. So look at Ois Reish Lamed Hei on page Reish Chavav. Kvam avur b'lkuti tanyanis im memdal sh'abeinu z'chvan l'vracha hizim ha'oid l'vli l'hachmi chumis yiseris b'shum davar. We learned this last week. Rabbi Nachman warned his followers not to be machmir with extra chumis at all. Ki ein ha'kadosh baruch ha'ba b'chunye im b'yaisav. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have, I guess we could call it, unrealistic expectations. He doesn't have expectations of us that would make our lives difficult, would make our Yiddishkeit difficult. The person's makabel upon himself, O Malchus Shemayim, to be an Eved Hashem. Yiddishkeit is supposed to be very, very pleasant. It's supposed to be very pleasant and very wonderful and very enjoyable, filled with ne'imus. And when a person feels that ne'imus of Avodas Hashem, it's the whole union of Avraham Avinu, is that bechina. We'll talk about it right now. That's the whole union of Avraham Avinu. Then it's not necessary to bring in chumras, and that's not what Hashem's Baruch wants. There's a place for chumras. Of course there's a place for chumras. But it requires a great deal of learning and understanding for whom, in what way, at what time. Le nitna ha-tayra le-malach ha-sharis, as we saw, Rabbi Nachman brings over there from the Gemara, that the Torah wasn't given to angels. The Torah was given to human beings. It's a famous verse from the Kotzke that it says in Parshas Mishpatim, Anshei kodesh tiyum li, you shall be men of holiness. And the Kotzke said that the Baruch Shalom is not interested in angels of holiness. Anshei Kodesh. He wants human beings to be holy. He says he has Shemayim, he has lots of Malachim. He doesn't need Malachim on earth. Anshei Kodesh. He wants people to live lives of Kedusha. A lot of times you'll see this, that you'll have, especially with Bachram, very often you'll see with Bachram, that they'll see the avoid of a certain tzaddik. There's a Bachram that when I talk to, he's an American Baruch. He grew up here in New York, and he went to modern yeshiva, and he's been the last few years, 2 or 3 years in HSL, and he goes to Reb Tzvi Meir a lot, and one or two other tzaddikim. He started to speak English with a heavy Yiddish accent, you know, over time. When you see him, he tries to, everything, he goes like Reb Tzvi Meir in every single thing that he does, and which is very sweet, But he ain't not Reb Tzvi Meir. And his wife will tell you that. It's not Reb Tzvi Meir. And the fact that if he would only try to impersonate him with certain movements and certain things, or by davening to do certain things, it wouldn't be such a dangerous thing. But the problem is that he takes upon himself certain, which he has, takes upon himself certain chumras and certain avoidas that are taking away from him the Simchas Chaim. Reb Tzvi Meir enjoys those things. Reb Tzvi Meir enjoys davening for like 4 or 5 hours or something. He enjoys that. That's his chiyus. But this fellow enjoys having a certain kind of a look, and he means well, but it's becoming very heavy for him, and he's getting very depressed about it. And it's not his place. It's not his madrega. He's trying to be a certain way. It's nice. And there's certainly a very important place a person to have she'ifas for greatness, but you have to go in order. And it's not enough just to put on the right outfit and to make certain gestures. And to that that's from the tzaddikim, that's something which flows and something which is within them, not something which is imposed upon them from outside or impersonation or copying and so on. Chumras very often have to do with this, that a person, especially Bachim, that they pick up on certain things that they read in a sefer that they saw by some tzaddik, and they right away think that they're holding by that, and they start doing that, and then it causes many, many setbacks in Avodas Hashem, even in Amunah. Even in Amunah it can cause tremendous setbacks. A person has to know when it's time for him, when he's ready, the hashpah that that's going to have also on his family, and so on. Everything has to be with seichel. Everything has to be in a normal, healthy way. The ikur is to live according to the Shulchan Aruch. V'amr az isa she'isa she'roi l'chal adam she'yivch la'atzmai mitzvah achas. Rabbi Nachman said, at that time, when he taught this Torah, she'roi l'chal adam she'yivch la'atzmai mitzvah achas, what is very, very important, and each person should try to do, is to take one mitzvah. Each person should take one mitzvah, Shabbaisa HaMitzvah Yedaktek Harbe. And in that one mitzvah, he should be very medaktek. He should be very strict. In that one mitzvah, he should take upon himself chumras and to do it with all the digdukim. When a person feels connected, let's say, to one particular mitzvah, which very often that's how it is, that the sharish of someone's neshama is connected to a certain mitzvah. So in that mitzvah, Yedaktek Harbe, he should be very medaktek in that. And that mitzvah, in general, just to keep what it says, just to keep the halacha, just to keep the halacha, to just do things in a moderate and healthy way according to the halacha. But one inyan, one halacha, one mitzvah, a person should try with all of the digdukim. That's also allowed, that one can also be ben al mechavero, not only ben al. That's not to be ben al mechavero. That's usually the ben al mechavero, usually not the popular one. But that it should be with all the chumras and all the digdukim. Like we find in the Gemara, that the Tanaim would speak to each other and ask, what was your father particularly, what was he particularly careful with? Meaning that we see that there was such a hanhaga that people lived in that way, where in general they kept like everybody else, but in a specific area, there was an unusual zahiris, something very special. In one mitzvah. With that one mitzvah went mamish all the way in all the digdukim. And Rabbi Nachman says, and even in that mitzvah that you've chosen to be the mitzvah, the Rolls Royce mitzvah you're going to do with it in the most fantastic way, even in that mitzvah, al yichnois b'chumras shel shigon ushtus umar ushchayrus. Don't go into chumras of shigon, of insanity, and shtus, and foolishness, that cause sad depression and sadness. To be medaktik in the mitzvah, according to the poskim, without shigoyin, without an insanity and a craziness. Without drawing attention to oneself and making a spectacle of oneself that everybody has to see and everybody has to know, and to make it into a whole big inyan, and it should be a shigoyin. That's not the Ratzon Hashem. And as the Rebbe says, that very often, that brings to marsh chayrus, that brings to, in the end, it brings to sadness and to depression. Like yidaktik ba bli shigoyin b'kol ha-chumras. You'd be medaktik to keep all the chumras, but without craziness. Bli shigoyin, without craziness. Again, how do you define that? What's considered to be what's considered to be craziness, what's considered to be extreme, that's something that has to be evaluated by a rabbi, by a talmud chacham. But a person should always be careful not to do something that makes a spectacle of himself in front of other people, and to serve Hashem in a way that's sanua, that's humble, and that's real. I think it's not necessary to explain. But there are people that are not well. And oftentimes it comes out in a shigoyin with in Avodas Hashem. Al b'shar kol ha-mitzvahs ein tzrichin la'achmir klal. With other mitzvahs, Rabbi Nachman says, ein tzrichin la'achmir klal. There's no need to be strict, just to keep what the halach is. Ein tzrichin la'achmir klal. He was a very religious person, right? Menachem was ultra orthodox, yeah. Ein tzrichin lahachmir klal. V'halavai sheniski lekaimus kol mitzvos haTorah kipshut and mamish, bli shum chumis. Halavai we should be zeichet to keep all the mitzvos of the Torah in the simple way that Hashem told us to keep them according to halacha without any chumis. Halavai we should keep the mitzvos properly. You have sometimes that a person, especially sees a lot by Bochum also, that a Bochum wants to keep mitzvahs, wants to keep halacha a certain way, and he makes the whole Shabbos a Shabbos that the rest of the family is only upset and pressure and tension, and nobody could sit with him at the table. It's so upsetting, and he has all kinds of things. He's telling this and saying that, and this is something very common with Yeshiva Bochum, and it's not the Ratzon Hashem. It's not the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is that everywhere that a Yid goes, that he should be Mesameach of the people. And that they should feel pleasant together with him. And they should feel that Yiddishkeit is something which adds pleasantness to their lives. We're not talking about whether it's Chil Shabbos or something Machal Shabbos. Some Machal Shabbos. But it's a matter of Seichel and how to do things in the right way, in a healthy and normal way. The Gam Be'inyin HaChumris Yisayers BePesach. And so too when it comes to the special chumras of Pesach. The Pesach is, as we know, for many reasons, not for now, Pesach is that time of the year where people, even people who are normally not so machmir, when it comes to Pesach, they're very machmir. The Gabinina chumras he says with Pesach, even when it came to these extra chumras by Pesach, lo hayamaskim klal, alamarim ledakteg yoyisem yidai. I'm sure that Rabbi Nachman would never believe there'd be, you know, plastics with hechsherim for Pesach, plastic tablecloth covers or dish towels and things. All this, whatever Pesach became a very big thing with the chumras. He didn't like this at all. Even though by many of the chassidim there are a lot of chumras, and you find that by many of the chassidim that they keep chumras that were kept in Europe. That those chumras that were kept in Europe are. Mostly because of the circumstances and the conditions of how Gashmius was in Europe. And yet there are people who continue with this. And it's not for me that they have tzaddikim and have rabbanim, but it's machbid. It creates a tremendous ol, especially on the women. It creates a tremendous amount of pressure and tension. And these things have to be evaluated, reevaluated by tzaddikim to decide whether or not the problems that were, let's say, with water or with chickens or with milk in Europe, whether those problems are still in existence here in the States and so on and so forth, without going into these problems. He didn't like this. L'hoi yamaskim klal, alamarim ladak te yoyisim yidai, v'nechnosim b'marish shchayrus gedoilis, especially before Pesach, people were getting very depressed. Could that be what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants? Can't be. Any person with a Seichel Yashar knows that. Because Baruch Hu wants, especially by Pesach, that a person should feel that it's Zman Cheresenu, that a person should feel a Cheres, should feel a Simcha. And Dafka, when it comes to Pesach, people get so worked up and so nervous that from after Chanukah, or after Tu B'Shvat, whatever, you say Pesach, people already start going. They get nervous, they get worried, and so on. And because of all of these chumras, it could be that one of the main reasons that so many people run away from their homes and they spend fortunes of money to go and to end up eating most of the time chametz in these hotels, it could be that one of the main reasons that they're doing it is because the connotation, the associations with Pesach that they saw with the chumras of Pesach create in them such anxiety that they can't bear the thought of it, and they're prepared to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 more just not to have to deal with it. It's not just a question of the cooking. So I don't want to deal with the whole thing. It's better I just lock the door and put some yellow tape, you know, like from, just close up and I'm getting out of here. It's just too much chametz and stuff. I can't do it. Too much, and then they have their little yeshiva bar, of course, as they see him coming off the bus with a blowtorch and a look in his eyes. I said, we're just getting out of here. I'm just closing up and leave. You know, it's too much. Could be because since people b'chlal now are not as strong as they used to be with the Kabbalah's all, and let's face it, the houses are 10 times bigger than they used to be, in the time of Shulchan Aruch, in the time of the Ramah, and had one room, and so on. So people just, it's too much. Not, to begin with, it's not, the Yerushalayim is not strong, Aleph. And secondly, the houses are very, very big. And it's just, they're nervous, they want to do things the right way, by Pesach, and they're afraid that they're not going to be doing it the right way, and it requires too much, and they don't want to have to go through all of that. A lot of it has to do with the Chumash. Remember, years ago, I was telling people they didn't believe, so I photostated something that did before Pesach. I was giving a shiur in the halachas of Pesach, and I photostated from Rav Scheinberg, a paper where he just, in English, Rav Scheinberg says, I don't have to move anything, just sweep up. That's basically what he says. Just do regular sweeping, once or twice, and finish, and make kashal Pesach. You know, put things away, and take out the Seder stuff. It's really, you know, he was talking to our generation. Because a person who's taking upon himself all the additional chumras, especially when it comes to the women, who usually get stuck with much of the work. So it takes away the whole anticipation, looking forward to Yontif, and it makes Pesach into a burden. And that's not the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem Shabbat didn't give that. And therefore the whole din of Pirurim, of crumbs, and what it means, and how the bottle of Marutl, anyway, the person instead spends going crazy with looking for this and for that. And he'll always, of course, you'll find it in this Prima Gadol, you'll find it in this Mishnah Brura, this, you have to look for this, and you have to look for that. But again, this is, person can enter into Marashcher, into Shigah, into an insanity, and can ruin an entire Yontif for himself, for his entire family. That's not the Ratzon Hashem. Rabbi Nachman spoke a lot about this. Ki ish echad mi ansheinu shalay zechayin levrocha sheil achas b'inyan ezechumer b'pesach echlis nai. What brought about the arichas that Rabbi Nachman spoke so much was apparently what happened over there was that one of the chassidim asked a certain question about a chumra and how to conduct himself with this chumra on Pesach. So what did Rabbi Nachman do? It says, "V'oz his sloit says to me menem ma'oid." Rabbi Nachman started making fun of him. He was making fun of him. This big tzaddik with all of the chumah, he was making fun. V'hir b'ladab b'minyan zeh she'ein tzichin l'chapis acha chumis yiseyus v'shigoyin b'lbulim. And Rabbi Nachman spoke about this a lot, that there's no need to look for chumris and for shigoyin b'lbulim, for craziness and for confusion. Rabbi Nachman said he went through that period in his life too, when he was younger, when he had all these chumras. He had chumras yiseres ma'oid, very, very big chumras. And he said, it's all a shigon, it's not the derech al Hashem, it's not the way of Torah. Upam echad, this is an example. Once Rabbi Nachman said that he had a machshava about preparing water, because they were afraid in those days the water that was being drawn from the wells was being thrown in, and so on, other issues. So if he prepared water, But you have some people now that they do that. They prepare water for the entire Kol Yimei Pesach, Kamosha Noigin Tzas, like some people do. Gam Zeh Lahutav Beinav. He saw this is not the way. Ki Kosha Lishma Heitav Amayim Erev Pesach Al Kol Yimei Pesach. Because then he started to think, how are you going to guard this water that it should be good from Erev Pesach to all the days of Pesach? Lahutav Beinav Shum Mayim. And then he was thinking that there's no water in the world there's really no water in the world that you could use. The only water that you could use on Pesach would be water that's a spring water, that's constantly new water. How could you use any old water? You don't know what's got to old water. So you have to use new water. Basically, where he was, there was no water like that. He's telling about it. Rabbi Nachman says about how these are the chumras that he had in his head. Therefore, you should go travel to a place. You should leave everything and go travel to a place where they have springs. Kolkach nichnas b'chumus amar shcharis v'dikduk yisayim. He says, I had that Reb Nachman said about himself, to such a degree that he go into such chumus and dikdukim that he was going to go away from his whole family and to go sit someplace next to a well and have a zayda by himself with water coming up from the yeah. He said, but now he says, he makes fun of these things. The Herach B'Sich Zul Harbe, Reb Nachman spoke a lot about this many times. Ki Ikka Avayda Be'emes U Tmimus U Pshitas. The Ikka Avayda Hashem is Tmimus Pshitas. La Harbe's B'Torah, to learn a lot of Torah. U Tfilin, to daven a lot. U Ma'asim Toivim, to do a lot of good things. B'li L'chapes, L'chadesh, Davka Chumas Yisayris. Without looking for and trying to find Chumas Yisayris, that's the only thing that gives you satisfaction, if you could say no. Which to begin with, one of the Chavarim was saying to me recently, and we know that it sounds like to the children that his parents were always saying no. Even though we think they were saying a lot of times yes, and we're nervous that we're too easy on them, and the houses are too open. But the children don't hear that. The children are always hearing no. That's what they hear, no, no. So especially Bismanein, there's no mitzvah to come up with new things. Again, there could be something that has a serious, real place in halacha, not that has to be discussed with Pariskim and so on. But to make things harder, and to make things extra, so then it's always on the cheshbon of something else, and it's not kedai. Rak leilech b'derf avaseinu hakadmainim. The Ikkar is to go in the way of our parents and our grandparents. Rak leilech b'derech avaseinu hakadmainim. Lo nitna ter l'malachei hasharis, as Rav Nachman brought the Gemara, the Torah wasn't given for angels. V'amar az shebishvil zeh, oz v'har l'mchachmas adiktuk, v'enim oizkim by klal. So Rav Nachman said an interesting thing. You know that in the days of the Rishonim, diktuk, Hebrew grammar, was one of the biggest subjects. If you look at all the Rishonim, there were Isaac and diktuk, Rashi, Nehmadak, and then they had the Ibn Dunashi had very, very great Rishonim, that they were Isaac in Diktuk. They wrote big swarm in Diktuk. You don't find nowadays that it's one of the subjects that B'nai Torah are studying. You don't find. Come out, you don't see such a thing. Maybe, you know, whenever you see that there's one guy that he lanes like a, he does an apike or something. He likes to do a het ches or an ayin, if I'm one guy. And even if he has that guy, like the difference between a huffle, a hifle, a pool, a peel, he doesn't know it either. So you don't find, so what happened? Diktuk is a big inin in Torah. Diktuk is, that's not stam. Diktuk is understanding Torah's Hashem. And yet, we find that diktuk is, to a large extent, diktuk has been abandoned. Only some professors, some people, they talk about it. But it's not something that we learn in yeshivas, that people talk about or think about and talk in learning. And even when you get to Rashi, there's a little diktuk of Ibn Ezra, what to do about it and just to move on. I'm not sure what to make of all these things. So, and can you do those places where they make the biggest deal about Ivrit B'Ivrit and diktuk, that's where it's the most messed up and most crazy with the diktuk and the Lashon HaKodesh and so on. So, why is that? So Reb Nachman says an interesting thing. He says, it could be. He says, Shebishvil zeh ozvu ha'ilum chokhmas ha'diktuk. That could be why people left the subject of grammar. Even the word for grammar, diktuk, isn't the word to be medakdik. Diktuk. You know the worst thing about when the kids have a diktuk test? You can only get 100, but you get like minus 10,000. It's always so unfair. You know when the children have the diktuk tests? So what happens is you can only get 100 on the test, but they can get marked wrong for every comments and every pasach and for every doggish, missing a doggish, they can get like thousands of points wrong, but you can only get 100. So the whole inyan of diktuk is to be medaktik. And this you haven't in many times. You have in a shul one person that he can't be soivel anything in laning. Even if a pialoch it's okay, but he has to always scream out and he's always medactic in these things and so on. There was a, I grew up in the shtiebel. There was a yid that whenever he had an aliyah, he used to go with his eye to look in the sefer to try to find like this. He was just like this. Always go with his eye looking in there. So when he come, when he would go to, when he would get an aliyah, so the Rebbe would always go stand next to him and push his hand to push him away. He'd always stand there, he'd go like this, this kid. He'd always push him away, because he'd always go like, you know, like that. He's always trying to find something in the Sefer Torah that wasn't good. It's a type of a yid. He's looking always in the Sefer Torah to see maybe the Lamed is touching the next letter. You know, he's there could be such a thing, but you have to look like that. You know, it's always looking for that. The same person's always screaming out, you know, something, the Balkaire. It doesn't make a difference. It's a little bar mitzvah boy. He'll crush him and grind him, you know, and yell. And he says, that's a thing. Diktik, so Nachum says it could be. Even in Rabbi Nachman's time, they're not Isaac and Dictic. A lot of it had to do with the Maskilim, because the Maskilim were very big on that. The more modern Enlightenment Jews, they were very big in the Dictic and the Hebrew. That's also the reason why Chassam Sofer talks about that. That the Chassam Sofer says, Nestis Nua. That which was most beloved, the study of Dictic, because the reformers were putting in a lot of time into Dictic, so the Frumiyidin went away from it more. They didn't want to deal with it. But he says, "Venim oisim beklal ki diktuk ain't suichin klal." You hear what he says? Ki diktuk ain't suichin klal. You know how many people get angry at that sentence? The medaktikim will get very upset with that. Ki diktuk ain't suichin klal. Diktuk ain't suichin klal. Ki ain't suichin ledaktik alatsmi yosim edai levakish chumus yisayus. Don't need diktukim. Just to read it, it sounds good. It's okay. The herich was a oid v'omer as she'ein shum dover she'achiv bedavke v'im lav. Akim yuchal v'im lav o'inesach man apatri. Rabbi Nachman used to say, there's no davke. You try. If you can do it, do it. If you can do the mitzvah, do it. And if you can't do it, you're potter. That's what he used to say. Try to do it. If you can't do it, you're potter. He wasn't making light of mitzvahs, chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nachman is tzaddik yisod oylem. And no one's allowed to be maker when it comes to anything of Shulchan Aruch. But he knew that, he knew what people were taking upon themselves. And he understood the mentality of people. And therefore, he was very strong in this inyan. Yuchal, yuchal, v'amlav. If you can do the mitzvah, yuchal, yuchal. Fine. But v'amlav, if not, then the Torah says you're excused. If you can't. This is explained elsewhere. He talks about this in many places. Again, there's no klal in that. Of course, he's not saying that you have to be very careful, that one doesn't have to keep halacha properly. But there's a difference between what halacha is and the dikdukim that Rabbi Nachman's talking about and the chumris that Rabbi Nachman's talking about. A person has to be very careful. Go back now to page Yudal, place Tes Zayin. Here Rabbi Nachman talks about screaming. It's also a very big avoda in his teachings. Tsa'aka, screaming. But here Rabbi Nachman, we'll see in a few places also a little bit, we'll see later in Sikh Zaran. But here Rabbi Nachman talks about the art of screaming without making any sounds, which Rabbi Nachman taught in many places. Not to scream without making noise. Da, she'chayin litzayk b'kol d'mamadaka b'tza'aka g'day l'ma'ayim. No, he says, you should know that it's possible to scream in a silent voice. He says, b'tza'aka g'day l'ma'ayim, very great scream, v'la yishma shum adam klal, and no person will hear it. Ki ena maitzi shum kol klal, because no voice, no sound comes out of his mouth. So what kind of a big scream is this? Where's the scream? What kind of a scream is this? So he says, Rakat sa'oke hi b'kol d'mamadaka. He's screaming at the top of his lungs, but without making a sound. B'kol d'mamadaka is still silent voice. Like it says by Eliyahu Hanavi, b'kol d'mamadaka. V'zeyuchal kol adam, and every person can do this. If you try this and you begin to get and you start to get used to it, it's an unbelievable avayda. It sounds like it's a very simple thing. It takes time to get used to it, and you could be in a shul with hundreds of people, And you don't have to make a sound. There doesn't have to be anybody that hears you, and you could be screaming at the top of your lungs. The P.S.S. spoke about that also. He says, "Dahainu, she yitzaye b'machshavtoi hatzaka." In your mind, be mitzayer, see yourself, imagine yourself screaming at the top of your lungs. Picture it in your mind. V'yichna is kol hatzaka b'machshava, and to bring that sound of the scream into your thought. V'yitzayer b'daito kol hatzaka mamish. And in your mind, you should mamish paint with all of the prote protem of that picture in your head of your screaming. And a scream usually comes with a niggin. Doesn't mean you have a song, it means a certain niggin. It has a certain tenua, a certain sound of a scream. It's not just plain. But to put that inside. The yichna is bezeh, and you enter into that ad she yitzak mamish, until you're mamish screaming, the b'chinas kol de mamadaka, but in a way that's silent. L'shum adam lo yishma klal, and then nobody will hear it, which is the highest madrega. Rav Nachman, we spoke about that, is holds it's a higher madrega than everybody hearing it. L'shum adam lo yishma klal, ki be'emes. Ainot siya klal. Because Rav Nachman says the truth is, it's not just a picture. It's not just imagination. Rak tzalka mamish. It really is a scream. The one that you have in your mind, of yourself screaming, really is a scream. Ki yesh simpaynes bereya shemisham yoytze hakol. Because the sound comes out from the lungs. That's where the sound comes out from inside. And there are those, the things that connect from the lungs up to the brain. And whatever these things, I don't know. It goes to the brain. Therefore it's possible to create this screen going from the mind to the reya, to the lungs, without having to use the vocal cords, the mind and the lungs. Till your mom is screaming inside your mind. By thinking about this kol tzaka inside your mind, and he says very strong, very, very strong inside your mind, and it's drawing from the lungs up into your brain, and that's mamish happening inside your brain. And in doing so, you bring the sound of the scream into the brain, into the mind. And this way you could be with other people. And you could scream at the top of your lungs, v'shum adam lo yishma kanal, without anybody hearing it. Ulefamim yuchal hishamet mizeh eza kol dak. Sometimes it could come out, when you're doing that, it could come out a thin little sound. It might slip out a little sound. When you're thinking about this very strongly, and you're screaming inside your mind, and you're even screaming those words, if you're putting it to words, and it might slip out a little bit of a sound from the throat. Sometimes it can come out, and it could, when passing from the lungs to the brain and back and forth, something could sneak out in the way. A little bit might sneak out and slip out from the mouth. Avalubadakus godel, but it's very, very tiny sound. It's a little sound. Ublo dibur, and doesn't have any words, just a sound, but without words. Heimlich shein meitz and shum dibur b'shasa tzakenskal. Kal yoyse litzal kanal. He says, the truth is, this is an easier way to scream. He says that if a person is trying, when you're trying to articulate, to pronounce something, it's harder to make that connection between the kol, between the sound and the machshava, when you're bringing it out. But if it's all inside the brain, it's all internal, Rabbi Nachman says, in a certain way, it's easier to be able to scream this way. When you're doing it, when it's just a scream without words, also it's easier to keep it inside the mind. But if you're screaming in your head words, then it's more likely that something will slip out a little bit and come out the sound from the mouth. Because that's the teva of a person. So when you're thinking about screaming words, it's more likely that it will come out something in the dibur. Something will come out. But really, this way of screaming, in many ways, is more powerful and more effective than screaming out loud. Although, of course, a person, that's also very important for a person, but more when he's in his baidus, he's someplace else, and it's not in a way that would cause too much attention to be drawn to a person. Now, if you look ahead to page Kuf Chaf Aleph, we get a little autobiographical look at what Rabbi Nachman went through. Ayis Kuf Yud Zayin, Hesh Kuf Chaf Aleph. The Kfar was Yatin, Somoch Le'ir, Medvedvikka, Shom Hayadar Chomov, Zchorn Levracha. Rabbi Nachman spent years living in that town of Asiatin. V'sham haye ikar gidula, and that's where he spent most of the years when he was already growing up. He was married very young, and he grew up in that place of Asiatin. V'sham haylech nohar gadol, and in Asiatin there was a great river. There was a big river. V'olav gedelim kana v'suf harbe l'ma'od ma'od. And there were a lot of reeds growing out from there, plants that were growing from the river. It was the way of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman used to take out a little boat. He would go out sailing on this big river. Even though he was not skilled at doing this with the boat, he used to like to go and take the boat over to where this stuff was growing, and he would go all by himself, and he would hide himself and stay on the boat. He liked it over there. To a place where nobody could see him. And in that place, he would do what he did in Avedis Hashem Yisbarach, Petrila, Davening, the Yisbaridus, Ashrei Loi. Kibem Ezoch L'mash Ezocha, Kanira B'chush, B'svav HaKadoshim, he was Zoicha from the Medregis, he was Zoicha. And he used to say that, he used to look back on those times, on those years when he was able to go out there to that spot. He loved it very much. And he said much of what he was Zoicha to, he was Zoicha because of his trips out there. Me'inin Asvin Hanal, Shohalachim Asvin L'Torch HaNar. So regarding this boat, that he would go out on the river, the problem is he didn't know how to use it, but he didn't know how to sail this thing. It was a big river, and he would get far away from land, and it happened sometimes, he didn't know what to do. I guess it was like, the water was like going like rapids, and the boat was going crazy. It happened more than once. He almost drowned. And at one particular time, so he started to scream out to Hashem. V'ahirim yadav elav karoi, he lifted up his hands to Hashem. V'chein kishahaya tolui biyadav, another time that he was in great danger, which we spoke about way, way back when we were going, talking about Rabbi Nachman's trip to Eretz Yisrael. So you remember, at that time, he had to escape from Tveri, and he was climbing down the wall. So whole ma'aseh there with the army, with the navy, with the boats, and there was also a plague. So he was by the wall in Tveri. And he was hanging on the wall in Tveri, and the Kinneres was way, way, way down, far below. He was holding on for his life onto the wall. Because at that time there was the sickness there in Tveri. And he saw all the way down underneath the Kinneret. The Chimar Kimachi Yipo, he could barely hold on. He was going to fall into the, and he would have died falling down that thing into the Kinneret. Kamavub Mokamacha Vesipa Nesiyashal Eitzel, as we know from the whole story of Rabbi Nachman's trip to Eretz Yisrael. Oz Gamkein Tzak Beliboy LaHashem Yisborach Karoi. It says Tzak Beliboy, he said. Even though there was nobody around over there, Tzak Beliboy, the highest scream he gave from within his heart to Hashem, Vayaroga L'Sapezois, he used to tell over this mice. The two things, when he was in the boat going to almost drowning, and then when he was in Tveri holding onto the wall, and he would tell this over. Why would he tell us this? Because Rabbi Nelson said he used to say this over a lot. Because he wanted to drive this point into our hearts that this is the way that a Jew should scream out to Hashem Yisbarach. And to lift his heart up to Hashem. That he should feel as if he's mamish in the middle of the ocean. He's dangling over the ocean. Tolu al chut ha-saira, dangling on a hair, being held over the ocean, because that's how Rabbi Nachman was then, very mamish like that. Al chut ha-saira, ha-ruach sa-ra-saira ad-leva-shom, there's a huge storm, a wind blowing, and he's holding on to this piece of hair. Ad-shein yoydin ma-lasis, you don't know what you're going to do. U-kemat ein p'nai, afilu litzakin, and there's not even time to say anything or to put into anything into words. Just inside of yourself there's a scream that goes high all the way up to Shemayim. Abu Bemis Bavadai Aimla Aitsa Umanais Kim Lisa Ainavaliba Hashemizbah. The person in that matziv, there's nothing that he could do except to turn his eyes and his heart to Hashemizbah. The Kach Sikhin Bakhol Aisla his Baidai. And this is how a Jew should live. He should go whenever he's able to go by himself. A litzoik la Hashem's bar, to scream out to Hashem's bar. Ki ha'odam b'sakana gedoyla b'zeha oylam. Because the truth is, Rabbi Nachman says, that every moment of life, we're in great danger. Every single moment of life, we're like a person hanging over the ocean on a hair, holding on to a hair. As each person knows, really, if he's honest with himself, and to understand this very well. That's a famous machlokes that we learned in the Chabur when we're learning the mitzvah of tefillah, the Sefer Mitzvahs between the Rambam and the Ramban, of how to understand tefillah midiraisa. So you remember, the Rambam holds that davening every day is a mitzvah midiraisa, is a mitzvah from the Torah. The Ramban holds, even though it's not clear, because the Ramban in the end could agree with that, but the Ramban seems to be saying that the only davening that's midiraisa is be'eis tsar, right? Be'eis tsar, when a person's in great danger, like we see, that they would blow the chatzaisas, the trumpets, when there was a milchama, or there was a drought. So then the Ramban says that tefillah, be'eis tsar, at a time of danger, davening then is midiraisa. So Soloveitchik explained that really they're not arguing. It's just the Rambam holds that every day of life is an Eisar. Living in this world, he says, is an Eisar. The Ramban said that davening is only midaraisa when there's some great calamity or some terrible fear. And the Rambam says, no, davening every day is midaraisa. So Rav Soloveitchik said, because the Rambam is telling us the truth is that a person in this world, that's what Rabbi Nachum said, if a person thinks about those words, not just because it's a famous song, that's what this world is. It's a geshet tzarmai. That's the hair that's dangling from Shemayim. The person's holding on. A person has to remember that and think of that. And with that, to call out, to cry out to Hashem Yisbarach. Now the koyach of, or the shayrish, of this ability of a Jew to scream out to Hashem Yisbarach comes to us from Yaakov Avinu and from Rachel Yemeinu. It's of course Kol HaTorah Kula, but in particular we know that by Yaakov Avinu it says Akol Kol Yaakov. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, and by his wife Rachel Yemeinu it says what Kol B'Rama Nishma Rachel Mavakeh Al Benei. So these two in particular, Yaakov Avinu and Rachel Yemeinu, are the koyach of tzaaka, of scream, which the Jewish people received from them. V'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael. But we received from Yaakov Avinu and Rachel Yemeinu this ability, which is the umnus of the Jewish people, to scream out to Hashem Yisbarach, whether to scream out loud or to scream within oneself. The page that you have, I think we'll start it next time, because it's chaval just to read. We'll only be able to read two or three sentences. We'll start it next time. This is a piece of Mekutei Halachos in Hilchos Pesach. So we'll see two pieces in Mekutei Halachos, one in Hilchos Pesach, another in Hilchos Mincha, where Rabbi Nosson explains how the tzaka comes to us through Rachel Yemeinu and through Yaakov Avinu, and how it's the avoda of the tzaddikim of each generation, A, to teach Jews how to scream, and B, to hear the screaming of Jews, to hear how Jews are screaming. The tzaddik has to be able to teach us to scream, and to also teach us to listen to the screaming of Jews. We'll continue this next time.